Okay. Now, dear friends, I'm going to present to you some reasons on why we should be about spending this time. And I compliment you for being here. I compliment you very highly for being here. This is a subject that not all of the Baha'i community just leaps to, how to teach Christians more effectively, which is the name of this course. Because much of the community has had a struggle, has had a very difficult time in this area, and takes the attitude like that bumper sticker, you know, "Dear Lord, protect me from your followers," that Christians are fanatical, there's no you can't reach them. We're waiting for people who have rejected Christianity so we can teach them the Baha'i faith. A little bit. Now, I'm not sure we actually say that in so many words, but our behavior is very much this. Okay. So, I compliment you for being here, and now I'm going to present to you some reasons that we might need to pay attention to how we can teach Christians more effectively. The first line of evidence, of course, is, gee whiz, 90% of the population, 84 to 87% of the population, is of Christian background. Now, let me make some general points here. How many of you as Baha'is have had an experience in trying to teach the faith to a Christian? How many? Everybody. It's relevant. How many of you have relatives, husbands, wives, kids, mothers, fathers, aunts? How many of you have relatives that are Christian? All of us. It's relevant. It's heartfelt relevant. Okay? How many of you have found yourself struggling to answer the kind of questions we were talking about? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except through me. Who's Baha'u'llah? I follow God. Who's Baha'u'llah? How many of you have had trouble? Everybody, essentially. Everybody. It's relevant. It's relevant on our day-to-day experiences as Baha'is. Now, what's the largest religious community in the world? It's Christian. It's Christian. There's about 5.5 billion people in the world, and nearly 2 billion, two-fifths, are of Christian background. What's the most widespread religion in the world? We and the Roman Catholics, the Baha'i faith. I'm talking about the most geographically widespread, in the most geographic locations, the Baha'i faith and Roman Catholicism. But I tell you, if you're a pioneer and you go way, way, way out somewhere with the headhunters or somewhere, eventually there'll be a Christian missionary. Who has the most missionaries in the, which religious community has the most missionaries? The Christian. You can't avoid these issues no matter where you go, where you try to hide. Somewhere, somehow, these questions will show up on your doorstep. Okay? Now, here again, switching gears. What percent of the U.S. population, Gallup survey, for most people's money, has been the most authoritative survey outfit in our country for the longest period of time? What percent of the U.S. population believe that Jesus is God on those surveys? I'm not talking about Christians. I'm talking if you go down on the corner of Olympia, downtown Olympia, and you say, okay, next 100 people by, how many of you believe that Jesus is God? What percentage would you guess? Answer that question as that yes, Jesus is God. Please. It's 70%. 7 out of 10 of the Americans out there believe that Jesus is God. Okay. What percent of the U.S. population belongs to a Christian church? In other words, they're a card-carrying member of a Christian church somewhere. 70%. 7 out of 10 belong to a Christian church. What percent say they've had a born-again experience? 40%. 4 out of 10 say that they've had a born-again experience. I've seen figures as high as 45%, but I'll quote you the most recent, 40%. What percent identify themselves as believing that the Bible is word for word, the inerrant, literal word of God? God spoke every word there in the Bible. 34%. 34%. What percentage believe that the Bible is the Word of God but does contain some symbolism? An additional 25%. So if you add 34 and 25, we're up to 59%. Nearly 2 out of 3 of the American public are very conservative in their view of who Jesus the Christ is and what is the nature of the Bible. And we pitch our Baha'i teachings. I'm going to make an extreme statement, and I'm perfectly welcome to be challenged. But we pitch most of our Baha'i teaching to a very narrow, small percentage of the population of this country. And we talk about a significant advance in the process of entry by troops. You know, exactly who are we kidding? Okay. To figure out, to give you the rest of those statistics, 20%, 22% of Christians believe that the Bible is the Word of God, but does contain some errors of science and history. But the point of it is that most of the population out there is very conservative to middle of the road, 80%. Very conservative to middle of the road in their view. And the vast majority are very conservative in their view of who Jesus the Christ was and what is the nature of the Bible. What is the Bible? Okay. But, on the other hand, as we were discussing, most Christians are unfamiliar with their own book. Okay? What percent have never read the Bible even once? Never cracked the book, so to speak? 70%. No, it may seem like it. But 25%. 25% have never opened the book to read it for themselves. And as we know, in some religious communities, until recent times, you were discouraged from ever opening the Bible. And this is the Catholic community before the Vatican II. Okay? What percent don't attend church regularly? Don't attend church regularly. Somebody says 90%. No, it's 60%. All right? It's 60%. And then we talked about what percent can name the four Gospels. It's actually, in some surveys, as high as 46%. But that's less than 1 in 2. But the point of it is that most Christians are unfamiliar with scriptural Christianity. What's the biggest Christian holiday? Christmas. All right? When does the Bible say that you should celebrate Christmas? When was Jesus the Christ, what was the time of year? When was he born? It isn't in there. It isn't in there. You can guess that possibly that the birth of Christ came at a time when the King Herod, was taking a census and the shepherds were bringing their flocks in and so forth and so on. Maybe it was in the fall. But the most of the biggest Christian holiday is not in the Bible. The gift giving and so forth only started since the 1800s, so forth and so on. The point of it is, that's just one small example. The point of it is, much of Christian practice, much of Christian belief just isn't in there. Just isn't in the Bible. So what do we have to teach this faith with? We have the Word of God, which tells us how to teach. And we have the example of Abdu'l-Bahá, which in living form is a model of how to teach. And I'm going to say that the Kitab-i Aghan is Baha'u'lláh's own statement of what his proofs are. And how does the Kitab-i Aghan come to be written? There's a very fundamentalist conservative Muslim asking a series of questions that from a Muslim point of view are just like the questions we just reviewed. How come the prophecies weren't fulfilled, literally? Right? How can we go adding to the Bible or the Quran? How can we change what is in the Holy Quran? How can we change what's in the Holy Bible? That same list of questions that we went through are answered directly by Baha'u'lláh. The Kitab-i Aghan, from my point of view, is the key document for the world's peace because it will allow the reconciliation of the world's religions. And somewhere, somehow, some Baha'i community is going to orient its presentation of who Baha'u'llah is from Baha'u'llah's own model and example, the principles that Baha'u'llah gives in the Kitab Yagan. When that is done, friends, then we can count on a significant advance in the process of entry by truth in this country. Okay, let me present to you a second line of thought here on why we should pay attention to teaching Christians more effectively. I'm going to ask you to turn to page 11 of your handout, of your handbook. Now, I'm going to ask you to look at the top left-hand corner there. And what do you notice? 1971 and 72, a huge spike in enrollments. The only time that the American Baha'i community has had anything that would approach a significant advance in the process of entry by troops was 1971-72. 1971, we had 22,000 enrollments in the United States. 1972, we had 11,000. That's 33,000 enrollments in 2 years. What was going on? What was happening? Yes, it was mass teaching in the Deep South. And I was there. What were those mass teachers doing? What were we doing? We were knocking on the doors and we were saying two things. Baha'u'llah has come. He is the return of Jesus Christ, and it is by the power of the Lord that racism will be healed in the United States of America. We were directly proclaiming to a Christian audience. It was rural black. We were directly proclaiming that Baha'u'llah is the return of Jesus the Christ. I know. I was there. I was knocking on those doors. Now, we did a lot of things that weren't just as efficient as they might have been. We made a lot of mistakes. But we did a lot of things right. So here is some evidence that if we're serious about a significant advance in the process of entry by troops, here's the historical evidence in the United States when we directly proclaimed who Baha'u'llah was. People became Baha'is in thousands. All right? Now, I'd like you to look at the face page on number page 10, which is right across, hopefully, right across in your handbook from page 11. And I'm going to go to a third line of evidence, and this is from our own writings, on why we should pay attention to teaching Christians more effectively. And I'm going to ask David Gregory to read. I think David's other profession is a Shakespearean actor. He has this most wonderful enunciation and clarity. So, and then when David reads, I'm going to ask him if he would to substitute the word for Baha'i for Muslim, and on line 3 when we come to Quran, if you would substitute the Baha'i writings. All right, David.
After having done this 4 times, I'm going to try to get this totally right this time. Okay. If, for example, a spiritually learned Baha'i is conducting a debate with a Christian and he knows nothing of the glorious melodies of the gospel, he will, no matter how much he imparts of the Baha'i writings and its truths, be unable to convince the Christian, and his words will fall on deaf ears. Should, however, the Baha'i observe that that the Christian observe that the Baha'i is better versed in the fundamentals of Christianity than the Baha'is themselves, than the Christian priests themselves, and understands the purport of the scriptures better than they, he will gladly accept the Baha'i's arguments, and he would indeed have no other recourse.
All right, what does purport mean? What's the meaning of purport? The meaning of, or the intention of, right? Okay, so what is Abdu'l-Bahá saying to us here? He is saying that no matter how enthusiastic you are about your Baha'i faith, you are not going to have the kind of communication you need to teach this faith unless you can reference your beliefs, unless you can tie in what you're saying to the beliefs of the Christians. He goes on to say that should, however, the Christian observe that the Baha'i is better versed in the fundamentals of Christianity than the Christian priests themselves, the Christian would have no other recourse than to accept. Now you say, aha, wait a minute. This is tougher than it looks because you've got to know the fundamentals of Christianity better than the priests themselves. Guess what, friends? If you have the Agon, you already know the fundamentals of Christianity better than the priests themselves. Those mysteries of the Scriptures that are openly declared by the Christian clergy, we have the answers in the Agon. The fundamentals of Christianity are the same as the fundamentals of the Baha'i Faith. Because the Baha'i Faith is Christianity. Because Christianity is the Baha'i Faith. Baha'u'llah is Christ. Christ is Baha'u'llah. And most Christians don't know scriptural Christianity. So here we as the Baha'is, we can go to the Bible, scriptural Christianity, and find that it leads naturally to Baha'u'llah. Why? Because Baha'u'llah is Christ. Christ is Baha'u'llah. Now most Baha'is talk about progressive revelation. And they say all the manifestations are the same, they're so forth and so on. Well, if we know that, how is it that we don't teach that way? That's what Baha'u'llah does in the Kitab-i Agan. He gives the proofs that they are all the same. This is a wonderful discovery. And I realize it's a bit of a hard swallow, and I see the looks in the faces in the room. But let's work it through. Let's work it through together. But this is what Abdu'l-Bahá is saying. If you prepare by knowing the fundamentals of Christianity, the Christian would have no other recourse. So I have a question for you. If your teaching work isn't as successful as you would like it to be, maybe you're not teaching from the background, from the basis of the fundamentals of Christianity. Maybe that's the case, given what Abdu'l-Bahá has said. Doesn't David read beautifully? David, would you like to go to number two there?
The fundamental prerequisite for any successful teaching. Nor should any overlook the fundamental prerequisite for any successful teaching enterprise, which is to adapt the presentation of the fundamental principles of their faith to the cultural and religious backgrounds, the ideologies whom they are called upon to enlighten and attract.
Okay, now this is the guardian. This is Shoghi Effendi. Again, what is he saying here? The fundamental prerequisite for any successful teaching, is to adapt our presentation. Adapt our presentation to the religious backgrounds, the ideologies of them whom we are called upon to teach. Now, friends, it may not be that one size fits all in our teaching work. That's what we're being told here. In other words, if you always teach from the standpoint of progressive revelation, what's the Baha'i Faith about? Well, the Baha'is believe that all the religions are one. Is that adapting our presentation to the religious backgrounds and ideologies of those of whom we are called upon to teach? I ask the question. You can answer it in your own thinking. But I'm just saying that for the most part, the way we present the faith is we talk progressive revelation and the 12 principles. It's not bad. It's not wrong. But I'm asking you if this is truly adapting our presentation to the heart of the individual that we are about to teach. If you don't know where those concerns of that heart are, and you just wholesale dispense information, Rehi Kanum talks about, there's this great tape of Rehi Kanum, it's about 1970 youth conference, and she says that, you know, the seeker often comes and asks for a cup of water, and we give him a fire hose. Essentially, we dispense information rather than teach to where the heart of the seeker is. Where are the barriers of that heart? Where are the barriers of this heart knowing their Lord and teach there? We need to be able, this is the guardian, we need to be able to adapt our presentation to 90% of the population out there. Okay? Please, David, go ahead.
Different people must be approached in different ways. He fully agrees with you that different people must be approached in different ways and that valuable work for the Baha'i cause can be done within the Christian churches by promoting the Christianity of Christ. Abdu'l-Bahá said that when people become true Christians, they will find themselves Baha'is.
Okay, so this is Abdu'l-Bahá. He's saying different people must be approached in different ways, and more, that when people become true Christians, they will find themselves Baha'is. Now, why would that be? Could it be that the essence of Christianity is the essence of the Baha'i faith? Could it be that the Baha'i faith is Christianity? If we teach from that mindset, are we not following what the writings say for us to do? All right? Now, let me tell you a story. There's this lady. She's sitting on a plane. She's absorbed in her Bible. She is intent on reading that Bible. Sitting next to her on the plane is a college professor, physics agnostic type. He sees this. He says to the lady, do you really believe all the stuff that's in there? We know all these stories that have been added to the Bible. And she says, it's the Word of God. He says, yeah, but what about that story of Jonah? How did he live in that whale stomach for 3 days? And the throat of the whale is too small to swallow a man anyway. How did he live in there in 3 days? The lady says, I don't know. When I get to heaven, I'll ask him. The physics professor says, heaven? What if there isn't a heaven? What if he isn't in heaven? She says, well, then you can ask him. Now, what's the point of the story? Well, there are many points to the story. But you see what this guy was doing. He was trying to reason with this woman. What about the whale and Jonah and so forth? How could somebody live in a stomach for 3 days and all? Didn't face her. She had the Word of God. He was trying to reason in a logical fashion with her on what should be her belief. It didn't make any connection at all. So Baha'is sometimes say, well, isn't it obvious we should have a world government? Isn't it obvious that we should have the equality of men and women? Isn't it just logical? I mean, this is all just natural. Shouldn't we have another manifestation because with the passage of time, the laws get corroded and the church corrupts and so, it's just logical. Does it faze someone who believes they have the Word of God? No! It's just like the lady on the plane. When you get to hell, you can ask somebody there. I have the Word of God. I follow Jesus. I follow God. That's what I'm concerned about. And we try to teach from some other kind of angle. And often it involves a lot of language. Baha'is come off as a very intellectual social reform group. But we're not teaching from the Word of God. How did Baha'u'llah present who he was in the Kitab-i-Aqan? From the Word of God. Okay. Go ahead, please, David.
In this day, there is nothing more important than the instruction and study of clear proofs and convincing arguments, for therein lie the source of life and the path of salvation. It is very good to memorize the logical points and proofs of the holy books. Those proofs and evidences which establish the fact that Baha'u'llah is the fulfillment of the promise of the holy book. These proofs ought to be collected and memorized.
So, dear friend, this handbook and this class is just a start on this kind of effort, collecting the proofs and memorizing them. And what do the writings say on how we should teach? We should teach out of the holy books. We should present evidence, proofs, out of the holy books, not out of perhaps the most recent discovery that there's life on other planets and Christ couldn't have been to the other planets, so isn't it obvious we need more manifestation? We need to make our presentation out of the Word of God. This is the example of Baha'u'llah in the Kitab-i-Aqan. It's what Abdu'l-Bahá tells us to do. It's what the Guardian tells us to do. When we do this, friends, it's my belief that we will have that significant advance in the process of entry by troops. The Christian ministers could care less, as long as we're talking about the equality of men and women and world peace and so forth. But when you start converting my flock, going to the Word of God, I'm upset. I'm concerned, then we will have the attack of the clergy. Then we will see the faith spread. That's my own opinion, but I can support it out of the writing.